Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
How many people will say that everything I am and all that I do is for God? Next song just says, it's all for you. But tonight we just say, Father, you get all the glory, you get all the praise. Nobody like you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, it is all for God. And our desire is for him to use us and for us to please him. That is my desire today. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we're so glad to be on the air today. And we're bringing you the word of the Lord that he has given us concerning speaking no evil and watching what we're saying. We've been talking about this series for almost a couple of months now, so we're hoping that we'll be finished with it in about before the end of this year, but we'll see what God is saying about that. But I'm so thankful to be on the call this morning. I hope everybody that needs this broadcast will find this broadcast and be able to listen to it, and that the Lord will bless them, and that the word would fall on good ground. Hallelujah, that it may root up in them and plant a seed in them, and then the Lord will send somebody to water it, and then God himself will give the increase. So we're just so thankful today. We are blessed of the Lord for all that he is doing in our lives, and we thank God for every trial, every tribulation, every victory, everything, because it all comes. He said all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so we're so thankful for that. We're just going to open up with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace and for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the joy of our strength, and the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we thank you for it today. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless this word, that it will go forth, oh God, and it will fall on good ground, Lord Jesus. And Lord, of course, you said your word would not return unto you void, so we thank you today. Lord, that we are throwing the seed of the word out, Lord, that somebody might be blessed by it, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless this country, Father, in the name of Jesus. So many things going on. Touch each and every one in California, Lord, that has lost their homes, lost everything they had to the fires, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless those that have had to evacuate and cannot even go back home, Father. We ask you to touch their lives as well. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless. Send the rain, God. Send the rain upon on California, and let it rain, oh God. Lord, that they will be able to, fires will be able to be put out, oh God. Bless our Lord, the firemen and all the first responders, Father, in the name of Jesus. Cover them with your blood. Lord, don't let no life be lost, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Continue to bless those that are victims of Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma and Maria and even the earthquake over in Mexico and all the other disasters, the tsunamis, and Lord and Jesus, all the things and all the different types of disasters that have happened this year. We ask you, Lord Jesus, so much going on in our country today, so many sex scandals and all of this thing. Begin to bless those that are victims of that on both sides of the thing, oh God. Those, you know the stories, Father. You know what has happened. We ask you, Lord, to bless, Father, as only you can. And, Lord, let the people not be judgmental because, Lord, everybody got stuff. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, we rebuke that judgmental spirit and that false accusation spirit. And, Lord, even that spirit of trying to bring forth intimidation of those that even come out and said that these things have happened. Lord, we ask you, Lord, do we plead the blood of Jesus over your people, all over their lives, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to bless us as we go through this week, oh God. Lord, let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to touch that we can be a blessing to someone else's life, living epistles, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, just bless us on this broadcast as we begin to teach your word today. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We're so thankful just to be able to come on the broadcast and be able to talk about this topic, such a challenging topic for everybody, actually, because we all have to at times and have to watch what we say. Everybody don't speak faith every day. Everybody don't speak faith every moment. We would love to have that to be our testimony, but I know sometimes we might falter and might even begin to think or say the right thing. That's why it's important for us to have our minds renewed and to have our heart right with God. Because in Matthew, the 12th chapter, it tells us, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's where we even started at in this particular teaching, talking about the heart of the matter and how that, you know, if our heart is not right, then our mind will begin to think things. And then those things that we might think, develop in our mind, might begin to come through, out through our mouth. And those are the things that might be snared. The Bible says we are snared by the words of our confession. So we have to watch what we say. We have to be mindful of what we're saying. We have to think about what we might begin to say. I'm telling you, you got to think about what you're going to say. And so that's why the Bible tells us in James, I think it's James 1 and, let's see if I can find it, James 1 and 19, and I believe this is the Amplified Version where it says, understand this, my beloved brethren, that every man be quick to hear, ready to listen, a ready listener, slow to speak, and slow to take offense and to get angry. That is something we all need to put in practice, being slow to speak and slow to get angry, but quick to hear, quick to listen. Because if we do that, if we put that in practice, that particular verse right there, that's a powerful scripture, because if we would be swift to hear, but slow to speak, slow to, before we let anything come out of our mouth and our mouth get to flapping, let's listen first. Then be slow to speak, and then let us please be slow to get angry or to be offense, take offense to things, because then that's when all kind of trouble can happen. And so we want to make sure that we do that. Last week, we were talking about the various emotions, and I was really trying to let that be all I would have to say about these various tongues, but I was instructed, no, I'm going to have to talk about them, so we're going to do that. And I think I got about 50 listed. We're not going to hit all 50 today because I wouldn't be able to do that. But we will go through as many as possible to, you know, try to get a thing. Because what we were saying was on last week, we were talking about how that at the root of this untamed tongue and the various things that we speak from because of the emotion of things, and the root of that is unforgiveness. And we were talking about the various tongues, and we'll talk about that, and you'll be able to probably visualize it even better, but we were talking about unforgiveness. A lot of people, you know, people are bitter about things, people are upset about things, people have been hurt over so many things, and at the root of that is all built on whether you have a forgiving heart or you're still harboring unforgiveness. And so then when those things or have been things that have happened to you and other people have hurt you and you haven't forgiven, don't have any forgiveness toward that person or even for yourself or what have you, and then you begin to harbor other things. And at the root of that, we talked about of those emotional things, because when we talk about the untamed tongue, we're talking about emotions. We're talking about various emotions that are causing us to speak this way. or you know what I'm saying, it's some emotional things that are going on to cause you to have a lying tongue or, you know, a judgmental, be judgmental or whatever it is. And so we know that some of that, at the root of that, is unforgiveness. And then the other thing is because we don't want to be wrong. We want to be right about everything. We think we're right and what we're saying is what should be done. And, you know, and you need to do this for me, you know, because I need this done. You know, all of this selfishness and all of that kind of stuff and wanting things our way. And so that causes us to be argumentative at times and to have other problems because I've got to have it my way. It's got to go this way. And instead of wanting it to go the way God will have it to go, then that's the thing that can cause some contention between relationships or cause relationships to be in an uproar or, you know, to have all these different things going on because of just these emotions that we bring out because we might be suffering in some other areas. And so these are the things that we want to talk about when we start talking about these tongues and, you know, being impatient and being angry and all of these things and troublesome. And then in Ephesians 4:31, this particular scripture, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified version because it kind of gives it a little more, and I got it in several versions up, but let me look at it from that perspective because I did do that. It says, and this is the King James Version, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, this is Ephesians 4:31, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then in that Amplified Classic Version, it says, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and passion, rage, bad temper, that's what they're saying wrath is, and resentment, which is anger and animosity, and quarreling, which is brawling and clamor and contention, and slander, which is evil speaking and abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, malice is spite and ill will, and baseness of any kind. And then I think I got the Living Bible because I just like that particular what it said. It says, stop being mean, bad-tempered and angry, quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your life. And so we have to think about now, if the thing about it is the Bible has so many scriptures pertaining to what we're speaking, how we're speaking to people, what kind of communication is coming out of our mouth. And I believe God has so many of that because he knew what the problems were going to be already. And so because he put so much weight on how what we're speaking, because when we went back in the very beginning, we talked about this, about the power of our words, what our words, how much power our words have. And so that's why God has put so much emphasis throughout the Bible on how we talk to one another, what we talk about, what we're speaking over our lives, what we're speaking over the lives of other people because of the power of the words. Of course, Proverbs 18 says, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those that love the fruit of it shall eat the fruit. I mean, love it will eat the fruit of it. And I might be giving a little, let me see if I can get it so I can say it. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. And so when God tells us these kind of things, he's putting an emphasis on what we are doing and how we're doing it and what we're speaking and what we're doing. And then, of course, you know, I read this last week, Galatians 6:7-8, where it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we got to watch what we are sowing, because when we speak out of our mouth, we're planting seeds. It's just not, things thrown up in the atmosphere, but we are really planting seeds into the ground. And so you don't want something terrible to come up. You don't want that sowing to the flesh. You want to sow to the Spirit. And so with that being said, we're going to start talking about these tongues and the various things that they do. And before I get to those particular things, then I want to read this particular scripture too, and this is Proverbs 15:4. When it says, and this is the King James Version, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. And then I did it in the Amplified Classic Version. It said, a gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. And so we have to think about that. And then I did the Living Bible too. It says gentle words, because that's not a translation, but the Living Bible says gentle words cause life and health. Gripping brings discouragement. So a griping, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm saying it all wrong. Griping brings discouragement. And so we have to think about that when we're talking and what we're doing, and make sure that, you know, we're saying the right thing. So then when I think about these various tongues that I began to kind of put something to, I started with a lying tongue, of course. And, of course, you know, a lying tongue is, the Bible tells us that in Proverbs 12 and 22, and there's so many scriptures referring to a lying tongue, but I'm just going to give one. I want to give go through all of them. But it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And so, of course, lying tongue is a tongue that gives false statements or untruthfulness. And so we have to be careful of that particular tongue, because if people do it like it's nothing, people just to tell, sometimes, you know, and we know, because the Bible says we were born in iniquity, shaping in iniquity, I mean, born into sin and shaping in iniquity. And we know that, you know, even little children, they'll come out and just lie in a minute. And you'd be thinking, where did that really come from? How did they learn how to do that? But the Bible says we were born into sin and shaping in iniquity. And so these things can come forth out of you. Ask a little kid, did you eat the cookie crumbs all over their mouth? They'll tell you no in a minute. They're not going to say, yeah, I ate the cookie. They're not going to tell the truth about it. They're going to sit there and not tell the truth about it. And so we have to be careful of a lying tongue. And sometimes you think, you be wondering, why are they lying, Lord? The situation happened this weekend. I was asking somebody, I said, well, did you get the job? And they want to tell me no, but then yet everybody was over there congratulating. And I'm trying to figure out what was the purpose of that lie, God. I didn't really understand that. But anyway, so I thought, wow, you know, why are we so quick to not tell the truth about things? And some of it is, some people don't tell the truth because they're trying to present themselves in a different light. So they tell these things about themselves, and they know they're not true. Well, sometimes I think people begin to believe their own lies, and so therefore they have distorted the truth within their own thought pattern. And so we have to be careful about that. And so the Lord does not like a lying tongue. And so he said it is an abomination to the Lord. So we got to think about that. When you are telling them little lies and you think that the person don't know, first of all, most people, if they like me, you can tell me something one time, and then I'm going to remember that. And then when you come back and tell me something else, that first thing you told me is going to spark in my thought pattern, and then I'm going to begin to think, why are they lying? Jesus, that's not what they told me the first time. And so a lot of people are able to do that, whether, you know, people know that or not. You know, people are able to figure out that you're not telling the truth. It's not you, because people that usually don't tell the truth, they can't remember the lie that they told, and so they end up telling something else. So those are things you got to be careful about while you're trying to deceive somebody with a lying tongue. You got to understand that most people can figure out that you're not telling the truth because they remember what you said the last time. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a heads up so you understand it. People most of the time know that you're not telling the truth. And so therefore, you know, especially Christian people, because they got good discernment and things like that. And so if you've told them one thing one time and then you come back and tell something different another time, people kind of thinking that, well, you know, they may not never say it to you, but then what happens is when you begin to talk to them, they automatically think that you're not telling the truth, or they have to really weigh what you say to understand if you're really being truthful or not. And that is not what God wants us to represent. So that's why it's so important. Just tell the truth. But if you don't want to tell nothing, then just don't tell nothing. We're not asking you for the information. You're willingly giving the information, and it's not true information. And so those are the things you have to work. That's something you have to work on. So the opposite of that lying tongue is a truthful tongue. It says honesty is marked as being free from deceit or untruthfulness, being sincere. The Christian life should be one marked with integrity and honesty. We have to be men and women of integrity. We have to have integrity if we are going to be men and women of God. If we're going to be used of God, we have to be people of integrity. We can't be dishonest and think somebody's going to receive Christ and we're being dishonest and they know that. So those are some of the things we have to work on. It says integrity and honesty. Yeah, because we all sin and find it easy to do so. But honesty is something we must work hard at. A honest life is important on so many levels, from relationships with spouses and children, at our workplaces, at interfacing with our neighbors. You know, how many times have you been running late for work, and instead of you just saying, I just got up late, and I just was twisted around, I couldn't get myself together, but you'll say, oh, the traffic was bad. You know, the traffic had me stopped, it was backed up. Well, you know, whatever you may say. But Matthew's 7:16 tells us that we are known by our fruit. Now, that's something we got to consider when we think about what we are saying, especially when you're dealing with lying or telling the truth. The Bible says we're known by fruit. We had a friend of ours, and he was known by his fruit, so we knew what was getting ready to come out of his mouth might not be the truth. And you don't want people to think about you that way. I mean, even when you're getting up testifying about something, and if you've been somebody that is known not to tell the truth, people sometimes don't believe what you're saying, even when you're testifying in church about it. Something that we really have to be careful about. And so 2 Corinthians 18:21 says, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man." We have to learn to do what is right. What comes out of our mouth, it should be in word of deed, it should be all to the glory of God. And so we ought to make sure that what we're saying can glorify God and not discredit God in the eyes of somebody else because we're not telling the truth. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." And so, you know, it says, I think in the King James Version, you know, to study to show thyself approved, a workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we got to make sure that, you know, we're giving the truth. And then Colossians 3:9 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old man itself and with its practices." So you put those things away, and so now you have to be somebody of an honest report, somebody with integrity. And so those are some of the things that we want to try to develop. If that's something that you're having a struggle with, that lying tongue, then just begin to ask God to help you not to be afraid to tell the truth. Because the thing about it is sometimes when people are providing information, especially about themselves and, you know, who they are and all yada, yada, you know, sometimes they want to embellish it. But, you know, a lot of times people don't really care, you know, if this is where you are, this is where you are. They're just glad to hear that God is in your life. And so, you know, I know we want to have these prestigious lives and we want to be all of this and all of that. But, you know, the best thing to do is just tell the truth. And the Bible said it best, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And, of course, it was talking about Christ. But Jesus was our best example. He went around, and he wasn't telling none of them no lie. He might have talked to them in parables, but he was letting them know exactly what was up with things. And so we have to remember that when we are beginning to talk about things, that we give an honest report. That is so important, an honest report. So the next thing we want to talk about is a judgmental tongue, and I want to talk about that particular aspect or attribute of our speaking is because we can become very judgmental. And sometimes we judge people when we, because I don't know, it's like the climate that's going on today. If you think about all the Me Too situations and all these these men being exposed for their sexual misconduct and all of these things, and if you think about all of that and then the news media and all the people that are looking and commenting about it, they are, to me, being judgmental. I know it's the news, and I know you got to report it, but some of the things and the undertones that are being said are being done in a judgmental type of way. And I say that because not that I'm on taking up for this one or that one, but what I'm saying is the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, yes, there are things that go on that might be very hurtful or very horrific in nature, but until the even the judicial system says that you are innocent until proven guilty. And so be careful how you judge people and make sure you have mercy for everybody, because you want God to be merciful to you. You don't know when your time is going to come up. Something might be exposed about you, and you're going to want people to have mercy. So you have, in order to get mercy, it says it talks about the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. This is one of the Beatitudes over in the 5th chapter of Matthew. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so we got to understand that when we are dealing with people, we got to be merciful. We got to be forgiving toward one another. We need to be merciful as well. God shows us mercy. He said, I give you a new mercy every day. And so because he is merciful, then we need to be merciful as well. And then God himself told us not to judge. He said, judge ye not, lest ye be judged. And that's over in Matthew 7. And I'm going to read that. If I'm reading, of course, I've got it in the Amplified Bible. I don't know why. Sometimes I think when I'm trying to explain things, I think the Amplified gives me a good base for that. And so anyway, it says, do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged and criticized or condemned yourself. Now, let me read that again. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others, so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned, and in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you. Now, this is what God is telling us. And so we got to be careful when we get ready to judge other people. I know some of this stuff may or may not be true, but what we can't do is be judgmental. We have to be merciful. And then, especially if it's one of our brothers or sisters in Christ, the Bible says we got to restore. If we read over in Galatians, the 5th chapter. So we got to be mindful of what we are throwing out there and not be so judgmental when it comes to people, because everybody is sinned and comes short of the glory of God. I'm not saying that you got to love the sin, but what I'm saying is you got to love the person, and you got to pray for that person as well, that God will deliver them and God will set them free, and that they will come to begin to have a heart of repentance for the things that they're done. Because as long as they're on earth, they got a chance to get to heaven. See, this is what we got to understand. They may have done some wrong, but they have a chance for heaven. And so we want to pray that people will not judge them, but we will begin to pray that the Lord will begin to intervene in their life and begin to get into their life, and that they will have a repenting spirit and begin to repent, and then God can save them and set them free. And so does anybody have anything they want to comment about that? So that's that judgmental tongue. I was trying to find my scripture, and that's what I was looking for, because I wanted to check out something. But that's what we do. And so what is the opposite of that particular type of thing? Because, you know, when I was growing up in the early church, they was really judgmental to me. And I'm just going to say they was really judgmental to me, because they would be quick to judge you, and then later on in life you find out some stuff about them, and you thinking, well, now didn't they tell us not to do that? That's what they told us, but then they were found doing those very things that they told others not to do. And so that's another thing we got to be careful of. Let's not be a hypocrite when it comes to talking about somebody else. That's why at some point, I think later on in that scripture, it says, stop trying to take the mold out your brother's eye when you got a tree setting up in your eye. And so, you know, you have to be careful not to do those types of things, but to make sure that, you know, that you have a heart that's not judgmental, but, you know what I'm saying, but you're able to pray for people when they're caught in discretions and things are going on, that you're able to pray that, Lord, first save them and then begin to deal with them according to what has been done, and may, you know, the Lord can set them free. Because as long as they got a heartbeat, we still need to be able and ready to minister to those souls, because they are just that, their souls. They might have done some horrific things, but we still need to pray that the Lord will save them, set them free, and deliver them. And so the other side of that judgmental tongue is, of course, a non-judgmental tongue, no judgment. Let's not judge one another in that particular way. And so when you think about that, our definition was that is refraining from judgment based on personal ethical standards, and seek wisdom and discernment before you speak about sensitive issues. Develop an awareness and sensitivity towards others who've made bad choices. They might have made some bad choices, but we're supposed to be sensitive to that and show them some mercy. Of course, the Bible says, tells a couple of things about that. First, it says in Proverbs 10 and 13, says the easiest way to bring an offense is to speak. Wait a minute, I got to get my things I'm kind of cut off here. Let me pull it down so if I can see the whole row. The easiest way to bring an offense is to speak before you seek wisdom from God. Is that there is no time to speak up, and there's a time to speak up and a time to be quiet. Wisdom gives you the insight of the best time for you to do those things. So the Lord gives wisdom to all those who ask him in faith. So we have to make sure that we do that. But Proverbs 10 and 13 says wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning. And so we have to, you know, before we get ready to speak out against anything, let us first seek wisdom on it and ask God how he wants us to deal with these things, and so that we can be dealt, they can be dealt with in love. The Bible says with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And so we want to draw people to Christ, but we want to draw them in love. And so we got to try to have, you know, when we talk to people, even when people come, if you are in a position of authority in ministry, and when people come to you, you have to have a non-judgmental spirit. You can't judge them while they're talking to you. Otherwise, they'll shut up and they won't even talk to you, or they won't seek out help from Christians, because Christians have a tendency to be judgmental when they themselves were once in discretion. I was talking to somebody about this particular thing that, you know, I hear married people say all the time as reference to single people. And, you know, one thing they say is, oh, you need to close your legs and open your Bible, and you need to do those types of things. So to me, first of all, it's a very judgmental statement. And my legs are closed, so I don't have that ain't my story. But the reason why I think I find it offensive is because a lot of times those that are saying it weren't virgins when they got married. They had done all kind of stuff prior to getting married, and even with the spouses that they with had done all kind of things, and then they got married, and then all of a sudden they feel like they have overcome that obstacle in their life, and then they want to be judgmental when it comes to other people. And so I find that very offensive when I see those kind of statements being made about singles, because all singles are not running around having sex. There's a lot of, it's probably more singles keeping themselves than it is well, in the church, I say, not in the world, they doing all kind of stuff. They passing around men and women like it ain't nothing. I was just talking to somebody about that, and I said, oh, my God, I wouldn't want none of them, because ain't no telling what they got, because they just passing one from another. For 1 week, you see them over here. Next month, you see them with somebody else, and they just like they're going around in a circle. here we go round in circles, somebody used to sing. And so we see all of that going on. But most of the people that I know that are in the church that are single, they are trying to live as God has told them to do so. And so, marriage, if somebody marries, listen to them before you make those statements. We can't be in, don't blame all singles for what may be going wrong in your household. All of us didn't have nothing to do with it. So anyway, that's the thing about being a judge, non-judgmental, and I thought I'd use that as an example for that particular thing that we're saying that you can do besides being judgmental, be non-judgmental. Does anybody have anything they want to say, speak about on those particular topics?
Ella Bryson?
Yes.
I just like to, I was reading something and I saw a good statement. I thought I'd throw it out there. It says that there is a difference between making judgment and being judgmental. And I think that's where a lot of people in the church, people period, many times we call ourselves making a judgment about something like we're being responsible, but yet we find ourselves being judgmental because we're being critical and we don't have all the facts, we don't have all the information, we are not using wisdom, we're not discerning the issues so we can give some good advice. There is a difference between that, and I think even in the scenario you just gave, when married people talk about single people and what we should do, and they've been married for an awful long time, sometimes they've forgotten because they probably felt in the same way that they're talking about, and they probably many times are talking from their own experience, and we should not put everybody in one basket. So that comes from, I think, with our lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding of the words that we're using. So, because, the Bible tells us, know ye not that the saints shall judge the world. So there are things that need judgment because it needs decisions. When I'm counseling or trying to help somebody win them to Christ or somebody come to me about an issue in ministry, sometimes I'm making some type of judgment. I'm not being critical because you have to be open. So you can receive and give them the opportunity to be able to think outside of their own little small box. But on the other side, I can't, if they come to me being truthful because they won't help, if I use judgment, I might be able to give them good advice. But if I use judgmentalness, if that's a word, if I'm judgmental regarding what they're telling me, I'm judging them because they're telling me about their experience and what they've done and they're trying to overcome and their struggle, then I'm defeating the purpose, number one. I'm not representing Christ, number two, and now I'm in the flesh. And I don't need to be counseling or assisting or ministering anybody because at that point, as a minister or a person that's saved, say we love the Lord, we need some direction and some guidance ourselves. We need to grow in that. I mean, I think many times people are talking out of what they heard and not what they know. So we need to get real knowledge. We got to go to the Word. We need to seek God for discernment and for clarity and have wisdom so we'll know how to properly respond. Many times we talk too fast. Paul said all things lawful, but not always expedient. Sometimes you might know the right answer, but you got to say it in love, and you got to know how to say it. And if that person is, but you got to discern that the person is ready to hear, and not just because you know the answer, you got to make sure that the Holy Spirit is directing you so you will not destroy a person, because you're supposed to win souls, because he that winneth souls is wise. And when you push somebody away from God, then you need to check yourself to see, because you're not doing what the Word says. So with that, when I think about being judgmental, I think as Christians, we need to learn the difference between judgment and being judgmental and get on the side of making good judgment because we have wisdom and ask God to lead us if we do not.
Yes. And thank you, Ellen Timberlake. That was beautifully put. Thank you, so that was beautifully put. That is the truth, and that's exactly what she said. I'm not even going to say nothing about it. I think that was beautiful, and that is exactly what we need to do. We cannot be judgmental. We might have to make judgment. We have judgment calls, but we cannot be judgmental. And so wisdom is the key thing when it comes to those types of things where people are coming to talk to you in confidence about things, you have to exercise wisdom and act in what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do and not try to go on your own with your own thought patterns about it. So that was beautiful. I thank God for those comments. And so the next thing we're going to talk about is, of course, we're going just going down. I'm going down this list, and it's a complaining tongue. I think I started talking about some of this before, and then we went to a different direction. But that complaining tongue, and we talked about complaining earlier on. We talked about the complaints of Israel and how that complaining affected their lives and caused them to lose out on the blessings that God had for them, and the journey that God had for them took so much longer because of their complaints and the things that they kept doing. And, of course, complaining is expressed dissatisfaction, pain, uneasiness, sense of resentment, or grief, and finding fault, you know, finding fault with everything. Just everything is something, just always finding fault with things. And so, and that's what Israel was doing when God was delivering them out of Egypt, and because they thought it should have went this way, it shouldn't have went that way. Lord, we don't have no water. Lord, we don't have no need. Lord, we don't have that. They just kept going on and on and on. And so we have to be careful not to complain, because really complaining is a sin. And so God does not like a complaining tongue. And so you have to be careful about that. And, of course, Philippians 2 and 14 says, do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. And so that's Philippians 2 and 14. So we got to be careful, because complaining is something that God is not, he doesn't like it. And so we got to be careful not to do it. And because of that, it can cost you, you reaching your blessing or getting your deliverance like God has for you, because you're sitting there murmuring and complaining and grumbling about everything. That's something we really have to be careful, because when we do that, we begin to speak the wrong things over our life. And then when we do that, then, we get what we get, So that's kind of what happened with Israel, and we don't want to do that. And so that is something that we need to be very careful about. When we're going through, and it seems like when there's times of trouble, when the storms are raging in our life, is when that complaining can really begin to take a hold if you don't watch it. If you don't begin to really say, I'm not going to complain, I might be going through the storm. But in order for you to get on the other side of the storm, you have to begin to give praise and worship, and you have to begin to be thankful instead of complaining, because if not, you'll keep yourself in the storm longer because of the complaints. When if you begin to combat the complaints, the complaining thoughts and the thoughts of wanting to say this against something or say that against something, if you begin to be grateful, have a spirit of attitude of gratitude versus an attitude of murmuring and complaining, you'll begin to see that God will begin to bring you out of that situation. So when the storms are tossing high in your life and the winds and waves are going and everything is all in an uproar, begin to praise God, begin to be thankful, and then you'll begin to see yourself getting onto the other side, as the disciples did when they were in the boat. Jesus said, come on, let's go to the other side. And then he went down in the hold of the boat and went to sleep. The storm started raging and was tossing them, and even the experienced people, the experienced fishermen like Peter, they got concerned about, because the waves were so strong and it was like a storm had come out of nowhere. And so when they went to go get Jesus, Jesus was being rocked and rolled, but he wasn't paying attention to that. He was asleep, because he knew he had power over the winds and the waves. And so when we think about that, we have to understand we have power over what comes out of our mouth. And so if we begin to think about what we're saying, then and with our renewed mind, we'll begin to speak the right things out during the time of storm, and versus murmuring and complaining. Because when we think about it, if God has allowed storms to come in your life, he's trying to get you over to the other side. He's trying to get you over to the point of time for him to receive your blessing, or to receive your miracle, or to take you on the journey that he has the purpose and the destiny he has for your life. not. So the storm has not come to kill you, but it is come to make you better. It has come to make you and to pull you into the person, the purpose and the destiny that God has for you. So when the storms of life start raging, begin to be thankful and have that attitude of gratitude and that attitude of praising God instead of complaining and murmuring and grumbling. It's so easy to begin to be discouraged because we're going through something, and so we begin to, you know, to fall back into that same place. Well, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Lord, I don't know. I thought I was better. You know, we go through all this emotion because we're saved and we feel like life shouldn't happen to us, but life happens to everybody. So when you're going through the times of storm, in order for you to get on the other side, complaining, that complaining tongue is not the one to have. The attitude, the gratitude, the tongue that we're going to give forth thanks and praise, that's the one that you want to put on. And so, you know, if we do like the Bible tells, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. So if you was once somebody that was complaining, when you came over into Christ, those things are beginning to pass away from you, and so we got to get strength over it, that when the storm is raging high, when the heat is up, turned up the fire, just like the Hebrew boys, when they turned that fire up seven times hotter, that the people that threw them in, they once got burned up. But the Hebrew boys had already made a declaration and said, if he don't deliver, it's not because he can't. And so they were confident in who God was. And so because of that, Jesus got in the fire with them. And so I'm telling you, if we would think about things differently and begin to untake this lesson that we've been teaching on and begin to turn our things around, but turn our conversations around. Ask God to really bless your heart, that your heart will be right, because we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we know that if our mind has been renewed and if we get that renewing, the Bible says Romans 12:1-2, it says, Lord, let me get to it, because that enemy act like he want to take it from me. But anyway, and I know that scripture quotes, I quote it all the time. But anyway, I'll go to it, so I'll make sure I quote it right. But nevertheless, if our mind be renewed, if we get our mind right and our heart right, then our mouth will speak the right thing. It is important that we begin to consciously make the effort to make these changes in our life so that we can begin to have a more fruitful life and a better life and a blessed life that God has promised us to have. But we can't do it unless we make these changes and we allow God. And then this is the thing. You're not having to make the changes in your own strength. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to help you to tame his tongue. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to help you to make the changes in your life that will make you a better person and be able to do what God is asking us to do when it's concerning what is coming out of our mouth. And so, let's see, here it is right here, 12:1. Let me get to 12. Here we go. 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we got to understand that we got to be that renewed mind along with our tame tongue, which the Holy Ghost is going to help us to do. He's the one that's going to do it. He's the only one can tame. The Bible says the tongue can no man tame. The only way we can tame it is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Does anybody have
Amen.
Anything they want to say about that?
Elder Bryson?
Yes.
I just want to just piggyback what you were saying about complaining and murmuring. That's a sin, and the reason why it's a sin, because when we people that complain, we focus more on what's wrong. So that
yes.
tells me the root of complaining is unbelief.
Because yes.
if we continue to focus on what's wrong, that means we don't believe the God, especially for those of us that say we're saved and love the Lord and know him. We lost sight of it, that we don't have the faith in the God that we teach about and grow, because unbelief is sin. And so when we're complaining,
as you were talking about that renewed mind, as we're getting our minds being renewed daily, that's why it's got to be renewed daily, because we forget. We forget that complaining and things like that, we think is normal because it is a part of life. We hear it all the time. But once you begin to grow in Christ, some things ought to be cast away. And when we find ourselves complaining, that means that we're going in the direction of not trusting God, not believing God. And the root of complaining is unbelief, and the root of unbelief is sin. So therefore, we need to focus on, but now going forward, now that we have a little bit more knowledge and some more wisdom, when we start complaining, we need to repent immediately. Correct it immediately so we don't give any room to the enemy, so we won't keep rehearsing it. Because that's what we do. We forget, and then we start rehearsing it, and that's what keeps us going around in that circle longer than God has planned. But as the example you just gave of the Hebrew boys, they were true. They held truth to their belief in the God that they believed in. Because they were in an unusual, challenging circumstance that was facing them, and said, "We won't bow. We still don't trust you. If you don't do it, we still believe because he's yet able." That's where we got to get to. And when we get that type of words coming out of our mouth, it will replace those things where we're complaining. Yes, it might be hard, but I still trust God. Oh, this doesn't feel well, but I trust my God. He's yet able. If he allowed it to happen, I know he's got a way out, because he said he will let no more come up on me than he would make a way of it. If I'm not able to bear it. So the word has already got it covered. Now we need to use the word and walk in it, apply it on a daily basis, on a minute basis, second basis, so the enemy won't trap us, so we can be resisting him, and he'll have to flee. He'll have to go somewhere else, because you see, there's no residence for him over here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That is true. And that is exactly what we have got to do. We have got to do it. If we want to be delivered, it's going to take you to really focus and say, look, I have got to do this God's way and not in my way. And I got to believe God. If you don't believe God, what is it, Hebrews 6:11 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, must believe that he is. Then it says, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. But if we're going to come to God, we must believe that he is.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we have to do. And so it's just, and I'm going to stop right there. We're going to go on because our time is winding up. We got 7 minutes, a little over 7 minutes. And so I want everybody to understand that, you know, you don't have to do this in your own strength. You have the Holy Ghost that will help you. He is our helper. He's our guide, and he is who God sent to comfort us. Jesus said, "I must go that the Comforter may come." And so he sent the Holy Spirit. So we have, him to rely on to help us get through these things. But we have to have a willing heart to make the changes we need to make so that our lives can be what God has purposed and destined for them to be, and so that we can be used by God. I want to end with this particular scripture. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And we're going to end with that right there. So in everything you need to give thanks. And so I just want to, if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord in the pardon of their sin, and there's some of these things we've been talking about today, the lying tongue, the judgmental tongue, that complaining tongue, is a part of your problem. And so you know that. But you want to be saved, and you want to be delivered. You want God to come into your heart. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And it says, "Dear God in heaven, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I confess that I am a sinner and ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from my sins. I receive Jesus as my Savior and ask him to come into my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that you raised him from the dead. I ask you to please help me to live as you want me to live. I thank you for the gift of your wonderful Son, Jesus, and your merciful free gift of salvation. And I thank you, Lord, that you will fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray amen and amen. And I believe if you prayed that prayer or were able to even keep up with that prayer, or you, that's how you feel in your heart, I believe that you are saved and that you are welcome to the family of God. And we thank you for your being a part of the family. And we're going to tell you that what to do is to find you a good Bible-teaching, God-believing church that you can continue to be fed the word of God and continue to grow. Bible says that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so that you can be fellowshipped in, you can be baptized, and get and continue on this walk and this journey with the Lord and be all that you that God will have you to be. That is our prayer today. And I'm going to ask Elder Timberlake if she would pray us out, and then after that we will see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we're going to continue with these tugs. We're going to try to get through a little more than those. So it might take a while to get through them, so it seems like it. But anyway, we're going to do our best to do what God has given us to do, and that's what we're going to keep doing because it's our endeavor to get the word out, the seed of the word out, that it can be planted, somebody else can come by and water it, and then God will give the increase. Elder Timberlake, will you pray us out?
Thank you, Lord. Thy word have we hid in our heart that we might not sin against thee. Lord, we thank you for what our ears have heard. We thank you for what Elder Bryson has given out today. We ask that you restore back to her, God, the virtue within her, O God, and in continue to increase wisdom and knowledge according to your will and purpose for her life. We thank you for all those that are listening and that will be listening in the future. And God, we just pray for a blessed week. And God, we pray most of all that you help us to tame our tongue, that we speak those things that you speak, give us to say. And when we should not speak, help us to hold our peace and let you handle the situation. God, we are going to do better. We decree better. We decree that we all should have a renewed mind. We are not going to be thinking the same way in 2017 as we did going forth in 2018. God, we just thank you for a changed heart, changed thought, thankful heart. And we're looking to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. We thank you for what we've heard and what we have received. Our hearts have been blessed and we've been made better. And God, we pray for all those that are listening, those that don't know you, those that will come to know you, and those who will listen later, that they will be blessed, that the word will find us, the seed will be planted, and their hearts will be able to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you all, and we'll be back next week. God bless you.
God bless you. Good night.
Good night.